This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9, Monday the 21st of June 2021. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Shao Ning, and drum roll please. Shazana Mokta. All right, ladies, how are you this fine morning?
Hello.
Very good. It's a nice way to start the Monday. It's rather cloudy over Tamantun, or foggy, that's the better word, I suppose.
I never thought I'd be talking about the weather in Malaysia, but it's been very English the last few days.
It's rain, which is England, isn't it?
It has rained torrentially over the weekend.
It has, hasn't it? It's quite distressing. It just makes you want to stay at home and contemplate your navel.
Maybe it's a good, it's like quite soothing because it feels like we're washing away all of the bad news. There's all the bad vibes.
Yeah, there's something ASMR-like about the sound of tropical rainfall in the day.
That is true. You can find playlists on Spotify about the rain, just, you know, drops, blip.
I never knew about these, what was it called? ESMR.
ASMR.
Until one of the producers highlighted to me, and I went into the web and I so regret it because there's all sorts of things like people combing hair, playing with plastic. Well, it's a fascinating world out there. But what do we have this morning, Chuang?
Markets. There's been some kind of a pullback.
Yeah, markets really did very badly on Friday. Finally, the news that the Fed is going to raise rates by 2023 seems to have, you know, stuck a raw nerve. So the Dow Jones was down 1.6%, S&P 500 down 1.3%, while NASDAQ was down 0.9%. And we look at in Asia, it was somewhat mixed. Nikkei 225 was down 0.2%, Hang Seng was up 0.9%, Shanghai Composite was flat, Singapore was up marginally by 0.2%, and the FBM KLCI had a rather good run. It was up 1.2%.
So to expand on why markets are pulling back, we've got on the line with us now Kingsley Jones, the Chief Investment Officer for Jevons Global. Kingsley, thanks for talking to us. Now, this pullback in American equities in the last few days, this pullback from the reflation trade, is that a case of the markets overreacting to the Fed's comments?
Yeah, to some extent, I think so. It's been so long since we've been in a rate rise cycle that I think the market is genuinely overreacting. This cyclical rally right now is driven by strong fundamentals across a range of sectors, from automobiles to housing. So when those animal spirits get going, they don't stop all of a sudden. So I think that one rate rise won't kill this recovery. And the market really is just responding to that future possibility. The important thing to remember about cyclicals, particularly things like autos, is that at the bottom of the cycle, they may be losing money or their margins may be around about the 2% level. At the top of the cycle, their margins could be 8 to 10%. So that's a 4x uplift in profit with no increase in sales. And that's before we factor in, 50% plus sales growth in Europe off a low base. So I think that the market is overreacting a little bit. And once they digest that fact, I think the rally will continue.
So looking at Asian stocks now, they're currently trading at lower price multiples compared to their US peers. Why the disparity in valuation, and does this represent a buying opportunity for investors?
I definitely think it is a buying opportunity. In terms of why it's there, I think we have to remember that the US markets are at all-time highs as a share of global capitalization. And that's really down to the strong momentum of the tech trade over 10 years. But there's good prospects in Asia, and not only in traditional areas, also in tech. And if we look at where the cycle is moving now, in strong areas like manufacturing, electronics and chemicals, they're all booming. And this really plays well to Asian tigers such as Taiwan and South Korea, along with Japan and China. But then you're also seeing agricultural prices rising. So, stocks are firming in nations like Malaysia, Thailand and Philippines because firmer ag prices means better rural incomes, and those economies tend to do well in those circumstances.
But Kingsley, are you concerned that there seems to be a rise of COVID-19 cases, for example, like Malaysia, Singapore, and even Thailand?
That's certainly a concern, particularly with this Delta variant around. I guess the thing I would point to is we are seeing already where vaccination rates have been high in places like Israel, that vaccination programs have been very effective. Of course, the problem is getting enough vaccine and getting it into those areas where you have large population centres like in parts of Asia. So we're hopeful that that will improve. I mean, in China, for instance, I think they're pushing 1 billion vaccinations dispensed already, at least in terms of first dose. So that shows that I think within Asia it's possible to get the rates up. But we just have to go through this nervous period whilst we have these extra follow-on outbreaks.
And in reference to your earlier comments, Kingsley, about the rally that continues to resume once normal service resumes, what kind of sectors would you see as being prime beneficiaries of this resumption?
Well, I mentioned one there that I think has been neglected, and that's agriculture, and that's important in Asia. You know, you have a number of sectors such as crude palm oil, we know, across Malaysia and Indonesia and parts of Thailand. And those prices have been rising rapidly. So that's one sector, not a big sector. But I think manufactured and processed food generally across Asia is interesting. We're seeing strong farm prices across the world. And also I point to the numbers for the tractor and agricultural equipment manufacturers in the US. I mean, they're having blowout numbers off the strength in grains and soybeans. So I do think that this cycle is going to be characterized by improving conditions in ag. And we'll also see the countervailing pressures on governments in respect of higher food prices. So the normal sort of script there. But the last time we really saw this in a big way was back in 2003 through 2006. So I think we're in for a little bit of a repeat of that.
So let's take a look down under now, Kingsley. Given the Fed's hawkish bias, do you foresee the Reserve Bank of Australia hiking interest rates anytime soon?
I don't think so. I mean, the bottom line with the RBA is that they're obviously concerned about inflation risks as they are in the US. But as you know, I mean, Australia has a heavily indebted housing sector, at least for those who have mortgages. So the RBA would be reluctant to put undue pressure on the economy by raising rates too quickly. So I think their basic game plan is to sit tight, let the Fed move first, and hopefully the Australian dollar will weaken a little bit. And that seems to be the plan. Normally what happens with a strong commodity cycle like we're seeing now with copper and iron ore really, really strong is that the A dollar would rise. And it's actually tracking below what most models would predict. And that's pretty consistent, we think, with what the Reserve Bank's aims are. So they will move, but they'll move later than the Fed is our view.
And Kingsley, if we look at Australia, it's actually been a rather strong outperformer. Do you think it can continue to do so? It's already up 11% on a year-to-date basis.
I think so. And I think the reason is that, as you know, I mean, one of our biggest sectors is minerals and energy. And, you know, speaking personally, I think both BHP and Rio, which are the two largest mining stocks, are really trading at absurdly low valuations for where the cycle is at. And I think that once we get into the reporting season in the second half of this year, there's going to be a bit of a scramble in the market to upgrade earnings to meet what will come through on their results. So I think we'll probably see a late surge this year in that sector. And that's enough to propel this market forward as a whole, because they comprise upwards of 30% of capitalization. Well, more like 25 these days, but they could be 30 in a few years' time.
And is this also driven by the fact that Australia's, I would say, stock market is very much domestic driven? Because if you look at how Australia is run now, it's actually closed its borders completely to any foreigners. It doesn't seem to be opening up anytime soon. Will this be to the detriment of the Australian economy eventually, though?
I think it already is in some way. I mean, planet Australia is in a different orbit right here in terms of connection with the world. And that is starting to affect us already with a shortage of labour in areas like agricultural farm labourers, and particularly the hospitality sector, because you recall that we were running population growth upwards of 2%, and that was largely due to immigration, not birth rates. And now it's really come straight back down again. So that's going to produce a labour shortage. It may actually be good for the economy in the sense that it's going to ration labour, and we've had a long history in Australia of having poor productivity growth. If wages got a little dearer and labour scarcer, that might actually help. But in the short term, it is a hindrance, notwithstanding what I said about commodities and strong export income from that area.
All right, Kingsley, thanks so much for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, the Chief Investment Officer for Jevons Global. Well, to some extent, Australia is in a bubble, but it's got New Zealand, because I think there is a travel kind of like a pyramid between those two countries. But just going back to the whole reflation trade going sour and about how there's a return to commodities, hopefully in the near term. I just want to point out, right, Brent crude is at $74 a barrel, which is all right-ish, you know, on a year basis.
It's not all right-ish. It's done really well.
It's done really well, right?
It's up 43% on a year-to-date basis.
That's right. quite better than Bitcoin, I might add. But then versus CPO, CPO is at 3,400 ringgit per metric ton. So that seems because they tend to move in tandem traditionally, don't they?
Yeah, there is some correlation. But bear in mind, crude palm oil at one time was trading, the futures was trading at 4,000. It's come back down to 3,424 as we speak this morning. So commodities, I think the long-term picture still looks very good. There is a shortage of supply with growing demand. But, you know, I think there are traders out there. When it hit 4,000, there was probably quite a lot of selling. And also China trying to crimp down on food prices because they are very concerned about inflation.
Well, it's not just the food that the Chinese are crimping down on. They're also cutting down on cryptocurrencies.
That is right. Bitcoin dropped over the weekend amid a focus on Chinese mine closures and potential regulatory scrutiny. Now, Bitcoin fell 5.5% to just over 34,000 last night, dropping for a fourth time in the past five sessions. Ether also declined. That's the second biggest cryptocurrency, to about 5.9% to $2,000.
Well, I'm going to be watching this space, you know, because whatever the Chinese do, it's really important. And let's think about this objectively. Why don't they like cryptocurrency?
It's easy, lah.
Because they can't control it, right?
Well, yeah, you see, for a country that has grand global designs to make the yuan the reserve currency, the next reserve currency, it cannot countenance a rival currency, which is
Bitcoin.
Well,
they're trying to come up with their own digital currency.
Yeah. It's a bit like one counterfeit, another counterfeit, right? And it's coming from China, so no pun intended.
But I think, you know, Bitcoin probably has a place, definitely as an asset class to watch. It's just the volatility is crazy. I really cannot fathom it at all or put a finger to the valuations.
Yeah, I've got friends who went in that 56,000 saying it's the next big thing since toasted bread, and now it's 34,000. So I hope they won't be crying too much into their cryptos. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.